Welcome to Fandom Night, the show that life forms.
You tiny little life forms. Where are you?
Reploid Bill William Bush.
Shane McCree, proto guy.
Scott Action Jackson.
I had something witty and I lost it.
Beam me up, Mr. Scott.
Nick Bennett, the Lone Paladin.
I'm trying. I can't give it more power.
Hey, guys. I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. All right, guys. I'll leave you alone.
No. This is way after his time, but it's not because he's in a fucking transporter loop right now, and then he got out. So he's around for this, but he's not around for this.
Today starts the very first talk that we've had Star Trek in a long time. So glad to have Fandom Night back. And we are starting, just because of the way the folders fell, we're starting with the Defiant class starship.
All right.
We will eventually be talking about the uniforms. We'll talk about all the different ships. A lot of shit coming.
I'm going to say I don't hate the ship right out the gate. I don't hate the ship. I understand what the ship is based off of and why it was designed. I really fucking hate the show it's from.
Oh, you're wrong. Sorry. I felt that way for years. I
have not gone back to give
Damn.
It a chance.
Going back and watching it as an older man, it may be some of
this
the best Star Trek ever written.
This was DS9? I thought this
yes.
was...
No, this is
DS9.
And...
The Defiant doesn't show up until like season 3, I think.
Once you get to season 3, DS9 does nothing but get better and better and better and better and better. It tells some of the best stories with the best characters
you
in all
of Trek.
You
just had to fight through the first two seasons.
It is getting through the first two seasons. All that setup is rough. Once season 3 hits and we move into 4 and we start talking about the war and we start developing the characters, and that's the biggest difference between DS9 and other Star Treks. In Voyager, pretty much every character that starts the show is exactly where they are when they end the show. That is not true in DS9.
That's not 100% true. Tom Paris got demoted and then promoted, then he got married and had a kid.
Okay, so he has a kid. That's his storyline development.
The kid is also the Klingon Messiah.
Yeah, he has a kid. That's his storyline development. Nog starts as a traditional Ferengi, a little piece of shit, uneducated business fuck.
Shane's favorite kind of people.
Who is very Ferengi. And then, by the end of the series, is a literal Starfleet war hero, fully enrolled in Starfleet, and moves on to the captain's chair in later years.
Damn.
And is completely fucking relevant and awesome.
I just really don't like Sisko also.
That is a huge difference. And Sisko is the first lead character. He's the first lead character that we started with that was a commander, not a captain. We watched his career develop. And he made some of the hardest choices in all of Starfleet history because it depicted the hometown in time of war.
I just don't like Sisko because he hated on my boy.
Your boy killed his wife.
My boy was also possessed by the fucking Borg.
Your boy killed his wife. I'm going to have some trouble accepting your boy if he kills my wife.
Your boy comes in here like, guys, Fandom Night. Bill's like, wife killer.
Right.
But the thing is, Picard wasn't in control. He was a Borg.
Okay. We get that. But you get to do that because you spent all these years with Picard. Take that character from anywhere else and drop him into mythology and some random captain, because you do this all the time and you don't even stop to think about it. The Enterprise B, what do you think about that good captain? Because he is a good captain. Because
we just give him shit.
The fact that the Enterprise B existed for as long as it did and had all the accomplishments it did means that John Harriman had to have been worth a fuck. But boy, did you catch him on a beginner's day. Now take that same kind of attitude with some guy becomes Locutus and kills your wife. You don't have 9 years of giving a fuck about Picard behind that.
My question is, do I understand the Borg?
Yes.
Then I can forgive that person.
I don't know if you can. I don't know if you can. Do you understand a cult?
Yeah.
Are you still okay with the fact that somebody brainwashed by the cult killed your wife?
Are they themselves now?
I'm going to call bullshit on you. I'm sorry. I'm going to call bullshit on you.
Bill,
no way.
Bill, here's the thing. You have to remember my marital status.
He really wouldn't care. He really wouldn't care. He really would not care.
You can't say me personally.
I'm telling you, it was a good show.
How about we use me for example? I could sit there and tell you I understand that you were taken over by the Borg, and I can understand that you had absolutely no control. That part I can forgive, but I can't. But I still don't want you near me.
Because, that's acceptable.
Because I can see your face, and I know that's the face. That's the man that killed my wife.
Yeah.
So while I forgive you, I still hate you, and I don't want nothing to do with you, because I have rage issues. What if he says something I don't like and I just snap?
Tacos are delicious. Bow.
And now I'm punching my captain. Oh, captain, now, my captain.
Now the huge difference with the Defiant is it's such a step away.
From what you're used to.
From what we're used to.
We're used to a big-ass saucer.
Nacelles.
With the neck.
Yep.
And then the body of the ship, and then two fucking giant-ass nacelles.
This is a compact
ship. Is a compacted war machine.
And this
In fact, the inside is small. It's not like other ships where you have this big... I mean,
it's
a small ship.
Well, it's only crewed by, like, what, 20 people?
If that. Literally, if that. Usually, everybody that sits on the bridge... Plus, like, two or three guys that could sit down in the engineering compartments.
Yeah, they don't even have a bay.
It's a small
ship. This
ship
was not meant for
It
exploring.
Doesn't have shuttle pods or anything like that.
Oh, no,
like,
if it blows up, you're dead.
Yeah, if this thing
Scott,
was
how do you
designed,
feel about that?
This thing was designed as an assault cruiser.
You get set up, and you're the engineer of the Defiant.
Now, you still have transporters.
Wait.
Which, by the way...
Is there a warp core in this?
By the way, Nog becomes the head engineer, the chief engineer of the Defiant. Yes. The Defiant 2.
So your warp core is breaching.
I have not seen that much of DS9 to actually follow.
It's a very small thing. All right. Scott, your engineering bay, in quotes, is this room.
Okay.
Most of it is taken up by the warp core.
That's kind
of
true.
The warp core is breaching, and you have no escape pod.
And you don't have time to get to the transporter.
Is there a way?
There is no transporter.
Just to go ahead and reference here.
Yeah, see, there you go.
This is the ship. That is engineering right there. That right there is your bridge. This right here is your bridge.
Wow.
This is some of the decks and areas like that.
There's no quarters. There's no quarters.
There are quarters.
Those are the quarters.
Yeah, they're very tiny. You get like a closet.
They're small. You live in... This is a compacted war machine. It was built for one purpose. The Borg were on their way. We needed something that was strong, fast, tough to lock onto. It had to have teeth.
It had to be itty-bitty.
This ship is designed for hit and run.
Yeah, it's a guerrilla tactics
system. Fire at the cube, warp out. Circle back, warp back in, fire more, warp out. Because it is a tough ship, but if it gets hit... You are fucked.
Its compacted design allows it to utilize things like the warp core at a better level. You figure all the power that these warp cores normally put out are usually used for a ship that has to carry 800 or 2,000 people.
It depends.
So there's weight. You got weight and balance.
800 for the Constitution, 2,000 for the Galaxy.
Depends on what continuity you look
actually,
at.
Actually, no, because
sometimes the Constitution
the Enterprise was 2,000, wasn't it?
No, sometimes the Constitution will only be manned by about 400 some people.
I thought one of the
and then
Constitution ones was
2,000. Sometimes they'll carry upward of nearly 800 people, if not a little more.
A small fucking town living on a ship.
But this isn't designed like that.
It's fucking ridiculous how many people. It's about 4,000 to 8,000.
I mean, it's still big.
It's a community.
It's still big if you figure there's people living here, there's people working here, there's people stocking areas and shit like that over here, there's people doing things. But I'm telling you, this probably, This ship is designed to work off of a crew. You could 30 people, you have more than enough people to run this ship. More than enough.
But for you, you just got transferred from the Enterprise to the Defiant. You're used to having to,
actually,
to stretch your legs.
Funny how you mentioned that. O'Brien.
Yeah, O'Brien.
Worf.
And Worf. Yeah, Worf became the tactical officer.
Worf and O'Brien both leave the Enterprise at different points. O'Brien permanently, on a more permanent basis. Worf, on kind of a weird back-and-forth basis, because he keeps showing up in the movies, which actually doesn't make a lot of sense.
Because he's a captain of his own ship?
Actually, no. See, that's what I mean. DS9 is so good. He's not a captain. He makes a really... He makes a decision to save his wife during DS9 instead of completing an operation that would have literally put us on the junction to ending the war and saved millions of people. He chose to save his wife and abandon the mission, and they take his command from him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So he did have a command.
Yes.
But then he lost it.
But in terms of being a commander, a captain, you have to be able to separate your personal feelings, because sometimes shit is more important than you. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't see past the fact that if he walked away at that point, his wife was going to die.
Well, I was going to say,
save her or complete the mission.
There's times when we see that with Picard. I think in Generations.
No, you don't, because Picard had a girlfriend that was moving towards very, very serious status, and he put her on that planet, let her, because she was the girl that was playing the piano with him in The Next Generation. And then that woman, he sends her on a mission that is very, very, she has the expertise to do this. Chances are she ain't coming back. He separates himself from his personal feelings and sends her down there. He has trouble with that. And when she comes back, he asks her to transfer off the ship because he can't care about her and care about his ship at the same time. He chooses his career and captain over the woman that could have been his literal wife, just with another three episodes they'd have been on track to be his wife.
Well, when I say in Generations, when he finds out about his family member passing, he kind of has to
push his family aside to do what he's supposed to do, because
he just holds the mourning in and just
but you
continues.
See,
yep. Worf couldn't do that.
No.
Worf chose his wife over the mission,
which is really weird for a war race. You would think that they could separate shit like that.
So DS9 is very interesting if you give it past those initial seasons. It
Worf
gets really
too much
good
time around the humans.
He's picked up bad habits,
and his parents, in quotes, are human.
I'm serious. I actually tend to like this. I like that it's sleek. I like that it's more. It's a very different ship.
It's faster than the Enterprise.
Very, very different.
Well, with it being that size, yeah, of course
it has
it's
to
be smaller.
But because it's so hard to target. Because
fucker turns of, on
terms
a dime.
Of, in terms of it fighting, okay, in terms of warp speed, no, I don't believe so. In terms of it being impulse drives and combat engines, the way it can move and dive in between things, it'll run circles around most ships in the fleet,
yep.
Most all cruisers in the fleet. But I would still argue that if you are an experienced crew aboard an Excelsior-class ship,
you could take on a Defiant.
Especially if you're a refit Excelsior, you can rock this thing.
Sulu could rock
one-on-one.
That bitch on his first attempt.
Because they don't have the same blind spots that this thing does as well.
Damn.
If you circle behind this thing, it could be in trouble.
That's the only downside about the Defiant. It's literally everything is forward-facing.
It has no rear.
I think it does have like torpedoes or mines that
like,
it can drop.
Yeah.
But most of its weapons are forward-facing.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a 90-degree arc in front of it. It can shoot. That's it.
It's also the first of its the first of its kind, because it's an NX.
Yeah, see? Right
yes,
there.
Yes, NX is reserved for things that are more experimental. They haven't
really
gotten
off the ground
yet. Well,
and typically the first NX... ship
is always
named after the design class.
So this is the USS Defiant. It is a Defiant class starship.
That's usually how it goes.
Yep.
Such as an NX Constitution.
It would be like an
NX 1945 Constitution or some whatever.
USS
be something like that.
Constitution.
Yep.
USS
and that's,
Galaxy.
That's usually how they get named. Some just like we see the Excelsior, they call it the Great Experiment, and we see that in the Star Trek movies before it's reclassified and gets an Enterprise basically redesigned for it, because the Excelsior will actually go to Sulu. He'll captain that ship, and then years down the road, they'll use that design as the Enterprise.
They have in Star Trek Beyond the ship after the Enterprise.
Kind of like the Galaxy. There is an NX Galaxy.
I still need to watch Beyond.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
I've seen the bits and clips, but...
See?
They say
Ambassador.
That's right.
They say that there is a...
Yep, it's the
Ambassador
class.
There's a ship at that dock that is more advanced than the Enterprise, but it ain't ready yet. That's the Excelsior class.
I believe they're hinting at the Excelsior.
I was going to say, the one that we saw RoboCop driving in the second movie.
That's off the books. That is a dreadnought, and it's off the books, and it's not talked about. It's not on Starfleet.
That's not an actual Starfleet vessel.
It was not designed by the Corps of Engineers.
Hmm. That was designed by, like, a Black Ops squad.
Section 31?
Pretty much.
I don't know.
But this thing can't take a hit very well, because...
Yeah, I mean... It got chicken pecked.
It has the same kind of shields as any other ship would have been given, and it can pump out more power. It can hang in a firefight pretty long, and the reason is because all the power of that warp core isn't just going into, like, it's not going into a ship that size. Like, that's a big deal. This would still have a top-rank warp core of the age, but it would be able to utilize that energy.
Its shields would have a lot more power to pull from.
Yeah.
The hull integrity fields would have a little bit more to pull from. But trying to think what else actually goes into keeping the ship from, I don't know, exploding.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they don't polarize the hull anymore, really.
Not really, no.
It's like that went the way of the Dodo after the NX. NX.
This looks like the right side's about done on top of
the
shot. That looks like it's almost close to engineering.
You'd actually be surprised how much damage this little monster can take.
The thing is, right here is the bridge.
No. It's still here.
Oh, the bridge is here?
Yep. Engineering is located back here.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Looks like that shot is close.
If I remember right, this part of the ship actually comes off.
Captain's yacht?
Yeah, it can act as a type of captain's yacht or escape.
That's your one escape method.
These are escape pods, if I remember right.
You're here. You gotta get there.
Abandon ship.
But if I remember right, the front of the ship can come off.
I mean, it looks like it.
It's also where most of the deflector shit is. It's on that little front nose that extends out, which creates their fields and everything
like
that.
Oh, the deflector field. That's what I was thinking of. It was the other thing. So, yeah, it's got a few
things. Also, I'll give it this. Something that Starfleet still is not really figuring out. Notice the bridge is protected. How often have you seen bridges when they're just in a dome on top of the ship, like, shoot here, please?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is true. Where you shoot me. That doesn't happen here. It is in here.
It's underneath of that.
Yeah, it's a little more
protected. It's got like an airlock cover.
Is that where they first go into the ship, is into the bridge?
I mean, here you're looking at this. Engineering right here. And no, the front of the ship doesn't come off in this design. I want to say there's a design where it does.
I mean, it looks like it could, though.
But this is the deflector and shit like that. So this is where we get into the first type of space where people are. And then back here,
that's the bridge
right here.
Okay.
And then you're looking at engineering back along this section. All the impulse drives and whatnot.
Is that thing in the center, is that supposed to be the turbo lift system or something?
I'm not 100% sure what this is. I haven't looked up a lot of stuff like that. I know it has a lot of torpedo launchers and shit like that. It's built for what it's built for. It's built for combat.
It's built to fuck up the Borg.
It's not built for you to, like, live in. Not really.
It's there for you to sleep in when needed.
Yeah.
But well, typically, the Defiant wouldn't go out for a long time. It would be like, hey, we got a fight. Okay. Boom. Done. Cool. We're going home.
All right. That's the Defiant. Go ahead. Rate it.
I mean, it's not a terrible little ship. Not, it's not exactly the style that I enjoy. I prefer certain other starships.
Yeah.
I know you do as well.
Oh, very much so. Like my favorite.
You,
my favorite.
You're a Constitution man. Actually, no. Yours is mostly the Excelsior. You
yes,
really like that.
I like the Excelsior.
But you
designs.
Also like the original Constitution a lot.
Yep.
I'm more of kind of a three-way tie anymore between Galaxy, Intrepid, and the Sovereign.
This thing
is very sleek, well designed for what it's supposed to be used for. I'm going to give it a 4.8.
I remember literally the first time I seen this, hating it.
Well, it looked
I
like
detested
a fucking
it.
Shuttlecraft.
Yeah, I remember being very against it. My time on things like STO has really changed that perspective because
oh, yeah.
especially being in the pilot seat gave me a different appreciation for how this ship handles, why it exists, and how it fights. It is not, because we get used to the idea of the hero ship, but there are other ships in the Federation. There are science vessels. Those don't fight.
Nope.
They serve a different purpose. They don't look like the hero
those.
Ships. Like, and then this is very much, it's a fucking biter. It's a teeth ship. It will bite you. The others don't. The others are very much body ships. They're very much built.
The way we had always played it, because we could have, what, four people together, right?
I can't remember anymore, but I think so.
I think it was like four people. Seth ran the science ship to keep her shields and stuff boosted. I used cruisers, and because of the way I always spec'd mine, it didn't matter if I was a tactical cruiser or whatever, I was always the engineering ship. So I would fly out into the middle, piss off everything, and just keep our hull going. So I was basically tanky guy. Bill also kind of played that, but he was more of the attacky version.
Yeah, I built a tank with high attack stats.
And Shane and Spencer, depending on who we had, ran these things. Spencer got real fucking good with this bitch. It's like we would tear through fucking fights like no tomorrow. And we were just like, wow, why is this so much fucking easier when we got four people like this? And then we started figuring out how the classes worked better. It's like, this is definitely a tactical ship. It's
yeah.
meant to rip things apart while the other ships are doing their shit.
The fact that my attitude has changed, and I very much know that Starfleet can't all be one fucking designed ship, like, has really softened me over the years on this. And I'm willing to go all the way up to, like, 4.2. I think it's a very solid design. It's not the hero ship that I've been trained to like. And that's a big part of it. Trained to like.
Yeah.
Because every ship in Starfleet, for the longest time, the only time we were ever shown was the hero ships. That's it. It's the only thing we ever spent time with. So anything else that they introduce is foreign. Like, you see that ship with the big circle dome? It's just a big ball connected to two engines that's flying.
Oh, that's one
science
of those science ships.
That's a science ship.
Yeah.
Like they give it to Crusher on All Good Things at the end, at the
yeah,
very end.
Yeah, that's the Pathfinder.
Yeah. That's still a decent little ship. It's just we never were given the chance to appreciate it because they didn't want you to. You were trained to like a certain kind of ship. And I really had to change my attitude to come around to this. So I understand if low scores drop, because I had to grow into understanding what they were trying to show me.
For me, this my favorite ship, we're not here yet, but my favorite ship falls into the same category as this ship. When you think Star Trek, when you think the Federation, they're explorers. So you see ships that hold people to go out in deep space and explore new planets. It's even in the opening. The Defiant is literally in its name. defies what Starfleet is. It is a war machine. See, the Starfleet, they're not warrior. They're not. We're not out there starting shit. We're out there exploring. But when people come to start their shit with us, we need something. We need something with teeth, something to fight back with. That's why my favorite ship also falls in the same category. It wasn't designed for exploring. It was designed to punch you in the face.
You a Sovereign lover? Okay. I kind of figured, because, well, yeah, the Sovereign...
The Sovereign was designed for one thing and Borg, one thing only.
Borg.
Fuck the Borg.
Yeah, it was designed for the Borg, which
Scott's
makes it...
like, yeah.
Well, because it compacted everything. It took away things like the neck. That was kind of a design flaw if we were going into combat.
Yes.
In hell, Beyond really proves that. I'm not going to go any further into that. I'm just going to say that if you know Beyond...
when I get to it.
Beyond
You'll
proves,
get there.
Beyond proves beyond the shadow of the doubt that the neck is a fucking flaw in the ship design.
The Sovereign class does not have that design flaw.
Nope.
It is a long ship.
It took designs...
Do you like the Sovereign?
That's the Enterprise E, which you saw in Nemesis.
Like
the last two movies.
Last three
Insurrection,
movies, right?
Insurrection.
It's in First Contact.
I didn't see Insurrection.
You're not missing
Did
anything.
Did you see Nemesis?
Yeah.
You weren't missing anything. So basically First Contact.
I feel like you need to catch up on your Star Trek.
Oh,
boy.
Yeah. No, it was in First Contact.
Yes, it was.
Well, I just got the Lower Decks season one, so.
I'm halfway through it. So good. So
I still
fucking
need to
good.
See that
and
too.
Just, oh my
and they,
god!
And they
it's
just
so good.
They just announced season two with a trailer. So
damn it, dude! Lower Decks is so good. I'm laughing my ass off.
But
I'm still wondering where that's supposed to fall.
It's taking place during the. It's taking place along the same time as the Picard series. It's somewhere in that era. You could tell by looking at the uniforms.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm confused by uniforms, but also some of the next gen characters are supposed to be part of it, but. It's not during next gen. It's
I think you'll have to see. It's not all the way up to Picard. It's before that series.
I'm assuming after the next gen movies at least.
If I remember right, it's after the. But so far, I don't know this for sure. I could look it up to be sure, but I want to say it's taking place after the next gen movies.
Yeah.
So for me, they nailed it. If you're wanting to be defiant. They nailed it. You defied Starfleet's code.
No, it is. It's a defiant design. In terms of everything we've seen up to this point,
you
that name makes sense.
You're defying the values in which the Federation built itself upon. You're out there to kill people. That is a killing
machine. Out of necessity.
Out of necessity. I get it.
Because Borg is scary.
War.
And Dominion is scary.
And Dominion is scary,
war
yeah.
War is war.
You know what would make this even more scarier? Mirror Universe Defiant.
Oh,
that
there
exists.
Is one.
That exists.
So that makes it even worse.
Oh, yeah, it's probably got more guns.
There is a Mirror Universe Defiant.
They probably duct-taped guns to the guns.
Then, most likely, it probably has flaming skulls painted on. That is very intimidating.
No, it probably just has the big Terran Empire logo, which automatically makes it fucking terrifying.
What are you thinking?
I'm giving this bitch a 4.
Okay.
Because it defies everything the Federation stands for, in my opinion. Out of necessity, like Nick said. Boom.
Except for the Mirror Universe. It's kind of like their standard.
Yeah, that's their standard. That's, in the Terran Empire, that's standard. Kill machine.
I'm still pondering my score because this is based out of Deep Space Nine.
Correct.
Yeah.
I only know the first season.
You don't have to know anything to rate the ship.
I know, but the thing is when I look at the interior stuff on this, it's like, it's impressive.
Well, that and Scott, you've played STO with us a bit.
Yeah.
That we'll do later. I'm actually building folders for checking out bridges.
Okay. Well, no, I was just going to say, it's like you've seen kind of what Defiant class ships do.
It looks small as hell compared
they
to
are, They're fucking itty bitty, but they fly around and blast the bitches out
compared,
of stuff.
Compared to the Enterprise, that is a fucking shuttle pod.
It's not wrong.
Actually, it kind of is going out of Deep Space Nine.
Dude, you should have saw it next to the Jupiter.
It's a fucking shuttle pod.
The Jupiter is a carrier. It makes the fucking Sovereign look small.
Yeah, that thing is nothing. Think of the Defiant like a bigger souped up shuttle pod. That's how you can look at it.
It really is.
Yeah, kind of.
Captained by a man
4.
Four is a good score. That's what I gave. Mm-hmm. It's also it's captained by a man who makes four. A tough decision.
Four and a quarter.
Four and a quarter. That's okay. Not a bad start for Star Trek.
Not a bad start for the Star Trek reviews.
I actually rated it the highest.
You did.
I think you did.
I did. I gave it a 4.8.
Yep.
You did. Me and Scott gave it the lowest, but the four.
It's like I do like the design a lot. Yeah, it's just not my favorite ship.
Oh, not even close.
All right.
And I hate the captain.
Sisko makes a choice that he will haunt him the rest of his fucking days.
Eh, it's fine.
Always more to talk about. We're going to get out of here.
Later on. Bye-bye.
Hey, guys. Did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomNight.com. At FandomNight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomNight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.